بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and seek His help and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah, the Most High, from the evils of our own selves and from our wicked deeds. Whomever Allah guides cannot be misguided, and whomever He leads astray cannot be guided. I testify that there is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah alone, without a partner or associate. And I further testify that Muhammad is Allah's slave and messenger. May Allah salah and salam also be granted to the Prophet's household and to all of his noble companions. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqu allaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O who you believe, fear Allah as he should be feared, and die not except in a state of Islam. Ya ayyuhal nasu, ittaqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida wa khalaqa minha zawjaha وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. O mankind, be dutiful to your Rabb, to your Lord Allah, who created you from a single person, from Adam, and from him Adam he created his wife Eve, and from them both he created many men and women. And fear Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut the relations of the wombs, the kinship. Surely Allah is ever and all watcher over you. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. O who you believe, keep your duty to Allah and fear Him and speak always the truth. He will direct you to do righteous good deeds and will forgive you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed achieved a great success. It proceeds then that the most truthful speech is that of Allah's book, the Quran, and that the best of guidance is that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that the worst of evils are the newly invented matters in the deen, and every invented matter in the deen is a bid'ah, is an innovation, and every innovation is a dalala, is a misguidance, and every dalala is in the fire of hell. On this night, the night of the 29th of the third month of the Islamic calendar, 1426 after Hijrah, we begin by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the explanation of a great collection and a great work, which is widespread in the Muslim world, a book of collection of hadith by Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah. His book is known as Riyadu al-Salihin, the Garden of the Righteous or the Virtuous. From the speech of the leader of the messengers, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he is Al-Imam Muhyiddin Abu Zakariya Yahya bin Sharaf al-Nawawi. He was born in the first month of Muharram of the year 631 after Hijrah, corresponding to 1233 of the current era. In a righteous family from the village of Nawa, which is a village near Damascus in the greater Syria area, he spent his adolescence and attained maturity at this village, where he memorized the Holy Quran. Then his father took him to Damascus when he attained the age of 19, and he attended schools there in the school which is called Ar-Rawaha for 2 years. In 1650, after Hijrah, he performed Hajj along with his father and stayed in the city of Medina for a year and a half. He, rahimahullah, concentrated on seeking knowledge from an early age, and he used to study 12 subjects daily from his teachers. Some of the subjects were from Sahih al-Muslim, and from the principles of jurisprudence of fiqh. He, rahimahullah, said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed my time and memory and enabled me to complete my studies. And he said, once I thought that I should study medicine, and for this purpose I even purchased a book on the subject. But soon after this I started feeling sullenness and inactivity, as if my heart has plunged into darkness, so much so that I even lost interest and control on my favorite subjects. This state continued for some time, when all of a sudden it dawned upon me that my studies of medicine were of no use to me. I therefore at once sold the book on medicine and removed all literature on this subject from my house, and this gave me relief and enlightened my heart. He studied hadith from celebrated scholars of hadith of his time, and he was taught fiqh by great scholars, and their number exceeds 20 prominent scholars. He, rahimahullah, after he sat for teaching, he had many students as well, very famous. He was a pious man and a humble person of an excellent character, rahimahullah. This learned imam, may Allah's mercy be upon him, lived for only 46 years. Even during this period, he wrote a large number of books, and those became famous and widespread in the Muslim world. Some of these books included commentaries on Sahih al-Bukhari, an explanation of Sahih Muslim, a classic on its own, and from that is this book, which is Riyad al-Salihin, which is a collection of nearly 2,000 selected traditions, supported by relevant Quranic texts arranged subject-wise. He had a commentary on Al-Muhadhab and other books before he died, rahimahullah, in 676. He returned all the books taken by him on loan to their respective owners. After he went on a trip to Al-Quds in Palestine, to Jerusalem, and on the night of Wednesday, the 14th of the month of Rajab, the year 676, after Hijrah, he fell ill and he expired on this night. And when the news of his death reached Damascus and its surrounding areas, all were plunged in sadness and grief, and the Muslims were overwhelmed with sorrow for the loss of this great Imam in Islam. May Allah's mercy be upon him. In the introduction, to his book, Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, found it relevant to compile a collection of hadith. That constitute a help on the path to the hereafter. A collection containing outward and inward relevant matters of etiquettes, comprising glad tidings and warnings, and the hadiths exposing the illnesses of the heart and their cure, and the protection of the body limbs. At the end, when he wrote his introduction summarizing these points, he said, and I ask a brother who may benefit from something of this work, is to invoke Allah for me and for my parents and for my scholars and those whom we love, and to all Muslims. Our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Utaymeen rahimahullah began commentary on this classical collection of hadith after Salat al-Asr in the Grand Mosque in the city of Unayza here, on daily basis, and the first print that came out concerning this commentary was in the year 1415 after Hijrah. And now, alhamdulillah, all of this commentary is published. After the sermon praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Khutbat al-Hajah, which I began with earlier, the Shaykh, our Shaykh rahimahullah, said, I decided to begin a commentary on this great book because it is a beneficial book to the hearts and to the apparent actions carried on the body limbs. And he, rahimahullah, meaning he, al-Imam al-Nawawi, as you have heard earlier, asked those who may benefit from this book to invoke Allah for him and for his parents and to the rest of the Muslims. So our Shaykh said, فَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ, so we ask Allah, أَنْ يَغْفِرَ لَهُ وَلِوَالِدَيْهِ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him and his parents and the rest of the Muslims, and that he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us meet with him and our believing brothers in the abode of honor. He is most generous. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we seek to make it a benefit for us, and that he forgives the author and gives him reward on behalf of Islam and Muslims with all good. And in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we seek success. Chapter 1. Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, after the basmala, after saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, he tabulated the following chapter. He said, باب الإخلاص وإحضار النية في جميع الأعمال والأقوال البارزة والخفية. He رحمه الله said, sincerity and purity of actions and intentions behind all actions and matters open and secret. Then he cited the following verses from the Quran. The first verse from Surah Al-Bayyinah, chapter 98, verse 5. قال الله تعالى وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيم. And they were commanded not but that they should worship Allah and worship none but Him alone and perform as-salah and give zakah, and that is the right religion and that is the right deen. وقال تعالى in Surah Al-Hajj in 22:37 لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا ولكن يناله التقوى منكم. It is neither their meat nor their blood that reaches Allah, but it is piety from you that reaches Him. And He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said in Surah Al-Imran in 3:29, قل إن تخفوا ما في صدوركم أو تبدوه يعلمه الله. Say Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, whether you hide what is in your breasts or reveal it, Allah knows it. The explanation. The author is talking about the intention and the place of the intention is the heart, and there is no place for it on the tongue regarding all actions, and that's why the one who utters the intention when he is to make the salah, when he intends to make the salah or the fasting or the hajj or al-wudu, or other than that from the actions, then he is an innovator, saying regarding the deen of Allah that which is not part of it. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to make wudu and he prayed and gave charity and fasted and performed the pilgrimage, and he didn't utter in all of that the intention. He didn't say Allahumma inni nawaitu an atawadda, O Allah, I intend to make wudu, or Allahumma inni nawaitu an usalli, O Allah, I intend to perform the prayers, or in the case of giving charity. He didn't say Allahumma inni nawaitu an atasaddaq, O Allah, I intend to give charity, or I intend to fast, or I intend to make hajj. He didn't say all of that. Why? Because the place of the intention is in the heart. And Allah, the Most Mighty and Majestic, knows what's in the heart. And nothing is concealed from Him or hidden. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the verse which the author cited, in verse 3, from 29, in chapter 3, verse 29, قُلْ إِن تُخْفُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُبْدُوهُ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهِ. Whether you hide what's in your breast or reveals it, Allah knows it. Or reveal it, Allah knows it. The second thing is that it's a must that the person makes the intention purely for Allah, the Most High, the One free of all imperfection in all of his worships, seeking in his worship none except the face of Allah, and nothing except the face of Allah, and the last abode. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded in his saying in the verse which the author cited in Surah Al-Bayyinah 98 verse 5, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. And they were commanded not, but they should worship Allah and worship none but Him alone, abstaining from ascribing partners to Him, and perform the Salah and the Zakah, and that is the right deen. And the person should make present the intention. What does this mean? Make present the intention of purity regarding all of his actions. So, he intends, for example, to make wudu, and that this is done for the sake of Allah and in compliance to the command of Allah. So these are three matters. Number one, niyatul ibadah, the intention of worship, be present. Secondly, that this intention must be for Allah alone. And thirdly, and that this intention, he brings this intention in compliance to the command of Allah. In compliance to the command of Allah. This is the perfect type of intention. With these three matters being present, intention of worship, in all kinds of worships, be present. Second, this intention must be for Allah alone. Thirdly, brings this intention in compliance with the command of Allah. Similarly, in the Salah, first you make the intention, and that is the prayer. And this is either Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, or Fajr, or the like. Secondly, you intend that you are praying for Allah, the Most Mighty, the Most Majestic, and to none else. You don't pray to show off, nor to be known, nor to be praised for your prayer, nor to attain a worldly gain. Thirdly, you make present in your intention that you are praying to fulfill the compliance to the command of Allah. Because Allah commanded you saying, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ, establish the prayer. And He told you in another command, فَإِذَا اطْمَأْنَنْتُمْ فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ. So when you are solemn and tranquil, then establish the Salah. And He commanded you by saying, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. Establish the prayers and offer the charity, in addition to the other commands. Then our Shaykh rahimahullah said that the author mentioned many verses, all of which that indicate and prove that the intention's place is the heart, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the intention of his slave. So the person may do a righteous deed which may be apparent to the people that this is righteous, while it is corrupt. How? It is corrupt by his intention, because Allah knows what's in the heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection will recompense the person regarding his purity of intention. Listen to what Allah says in this respect in Surah At-Tariq 86 verses 8 to 10. إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٌ. Surah At-Tariq, chapter 86, verses 8 to 10. إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٌ يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرُ. Verily, Allah is able to bring him back to life. يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرُ, the day when all the secrets, deeds, prayers, fasting will be examined as to their truth, then will man have no power nor any helper. فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ. Meaning, the day when these things will be examined, the secrets of the hearts, just like what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Adiyat, chapter 100, verses 9 to 10. أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Knows he not that when the contents of the graves are brought out and poured forth, and that which is in the breasts of men shall be made known? So in the hereafter, the reward and the punishment and the actions will be all in relation to that which is in the heart, in the breasts. In this life, what's relevant is the apparent. So people are treated in accordance with their apparent conditions. However, if these apparent conditions concur and are in harmony with that which is inward, in this case, the outward and the inward will be correct. His secrets and his outwards and open matters will be in agreement. However, if they are in opposition and the heart conceals a corrupt intention, we seek refuge in Allah from this, and then what is the great loss, and what a great loss it is. Working, getting tired, putting a lot of effort, having no share in all of that. As came in the hadith, the authentic hadith, which is reported in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أنا أغنى الشركاء عن الشرك من عمل عملا أشرك فيه معي غيري تركته وشركه. I am the one who does not stand to have a partner, and so whoever does something for me and for other than me, I will leave him to whom he took as a partner with me. The Shaykh said, Allah Allah, أيها الإخوة, oh brothers and sisters, الإخلاص, Al-Ikhlas, sincerity of intention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let it be known that the shaitan may come to you when you have the determination to do good work, and then will tell you, إِنَّكَ إِنَّمَا تَعْمَلُ هَذَا رِيَاءً. You only do this to show off. Why? In order to demoralize you, take away your motivation, so that you don't carry on the good work. So don't give this any attention. Leave it. Don't obey him. Father, go ahead and do And if he tells you, you are only doing this to show off and to be known, so leave that. Because if you were asked, are you doing this to show off and to be known, you would say no. So therefore this is a whispering that the shaitan attempts to throw into your heart. So don't listen, don't give it attention, and go ahead and do the good. And don't say about yourself, oh, now I am showing off and the like of. No, this is from shaitan. This is the introduction, and inshallah in the next class we will begin the explanation of the first hadith. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.